I hear people talking bad about the way we have to live here in this country. Harping on wars we fight and griping about the way things ought to be. And I don't mind them switching sides and standing up for things they believe in. When they're running down my countrymen, they're walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah, walking on the fighting side of me. Running down the way of life, I'm fighting in the fallen dynasty. If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be a warning. You're running down my country, man. You're walking on the fighting side of me. Rest of us can count on being free. They live on milk and honey, but they preach about some other way of living. When they're running down my country horse, they're walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah, walking on the fighting side of me. Running down with life, I'm fighting. If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be a warning. When you're running down my country, man, you're walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah, walking on the fighting side of me. Running down the way of life, I'm fighting in the fallen dynasty. If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be a warning. And you running down my country, man, you walking on the fighting side of me.
Yes, when you're running down my country, you're walking down the fighting side of me. And that's the name of this program. Here on WhiteResistanceRadio.com. Well, lots more news and views for our people. Of course, those are the European founding settler people of the Dominion of Canada, the United States of America, the Dominions of Australia and New Zealand, the Republic of South Africa, Rhodesia, and all of you who may be listening this morning in the European heartland. Well, the crisis in Canada as to what to do about the disruption of this, we're now, I think, into the 13th day of the main east-west CN or Canadian National Railway line. That dilemma continues because, of course, we have a gutless government and, for much of this crisis, an absentee prime minister. He was off gallivanting around Africa trying to scare up support for us to get a two-year term with a seat on the Security Council of the United Nations to be at the upper echelons of the Parliament of Fools. Anyway, he's finally back as of the weekend in the country, and he hasn't got a clue. He keeps talking about dialogue and peaceful solution and all that. Well, yeah, of course, peaceful solution. Yeah, we would prefer peaceful solution to violence, but we have the main line blocked by a snowplow, pulled there by the Mohawk warriors of the Thayendanegea Mohawk tribe, or I should say Indian band, and there's an occupying force, but basically it's this blockage. The OPP, that's the Ontario Provincial Police, have been monitoring the situation. Now, that actually sounds like they're doing something. They're not. They're permitting it to continue. The courts have issued an injunction, which means it's a court order. Now, I know what happens when you disobey a court order. A friend of mine was given what was the equivalent of a court order to remove material that he had put up on a website down. The court order came from the Ontario, the Federal Human Rights Tribunal, and some of this material was deemed to be hate propaganda. Material that willfully promote. Was likely to promote hatred or contempt against privileged groups. In this case, mostly Jews. He failed to do that. Now it's complicated. But anyway, he was taken. He was at one point sent to prison. So you disobey a court order, and you go to prison. Now, and the police had no problem coming around to arrest this gentle scholar. Now you've got these thuggish Indians blocking the railway, and the Canadian political establishment can't figure out what to do. Well, I should say most of it can't. Then there have been support protests across the country in the past week or so. Sometimes they have blocked, in the case of access, to, say, to the Port of Vancouver. Well, the police eventually removed them. They blocked bridges or major intersections in downtown Toronto, and a bridge in the connected Kingston to the American across the U.S. border. The police did nothing about those. Other protests or support protests have been peaceful and fine, and while I don't agree with their cause, I certainly would agree that people have the right to march around, wave signs, chant slogans, as long as they do it peacefully and don't block streets or bridges or railway tracks. Well, today the matter came up in the House of Commons, the leader of the official opposition, that's Conservative Party leader Andrew Scheer. Now, he has stepped down, but he will be leader until a new one is chosen in June. And I must say, in his speech today in the House of Commons, he certainly stood tall and said, he said that law and order must be maintained. And he said, we, the Conservative Party, stand here for the farmers, for the working people, for the many native people, groups that have signed on to this pipeline. See, well, the protests, ostensibly, are because a pipeline, a gas pipeline going from northern British Columbia to carry liquefied natural gas to the port of Kitimat, goes through wet, sweating territory. Well, there's a problem here. The elected councils of the Wet'suwet'en have signed on to this. They're going to get money for this. They're probably going to get a lot of jobs. That's all good stuff. But some of the hereditary chiefs are opposed to it. Well, that really would be an internal Wet'suwet'en matter, and it would appear that the hereditary chiefs lost on this vote. Well, they don't like that. So they've been trying to blockade a road that leads to some of the construction. After a month of indulging these Indians and some of their non-Indian supporters, the RCMP finally removed them about 2 weeks ago, and that's what brought on this solidarity blockade 2,000 plus miles away across the country. This comes down to a matter of will. Yes, if there are further negotiations or discussions that might or should be taken, or if there are other issues, of course, by all means, dialogue. It's a great thing. But dialogue not when somebody has a gun to your head. That's not dialogue, that's surrender. And the Prime Minister keeps prattling on about dialogue. And Andrew Scheer, the Conservative leader, as I say, stood tall. He said, we stand with the farmers whose grain, whose produce is not being delivered to market. with the workers, with the various businesses who depend on rail transport and whose goods are not, whose products or whose raw materials are not being delivered. And we stand with the many Native Indians who walk these development projects. You see, it's not exactly Indians versus Europeans, although there are some radical Indians who want to. And then he denounced the protesters, both Native Indian and others, as radicals. Well, I've heard various talking heads on TV going on at great length about, oh, how could he say that? Oh, the, you know, the how his words wounded. they're trying to, and there's signs that say this, you see, shutting down the country. Hashtag shut down the country. That's what some of these radicals, and it's kind of a witch's brew of extremists. There's the radical white-hating Indians, and that's only a faction of the Indians, so let me make it quite clear. Then there's the social justice warriors who are in favor of any minority who oppose the European founding settler people of this country. And then there are various factions of the radical environmentalists. These people essentially want to shut down the hydrocarbon industry. It's not just this LNG, like natural gas pipeline. They want to shut down another pipeline, the Trans Mountain Highway pipeline that would take Alberta oil to market in Vancouver, to market overseas. They want to shut down, or they do not want approval for a $40 billion project by Teck, an open pit operation, and the government's going to be deciding on that later this month. And in fact, they, in order to go green, they want to basically shut down the whole hydrocarbon industry in Canada, which would leave us what? Well, probably freezing in the dark is what. There's of course talk about, well, we could have electrical cars, and we could have electricity has to be generated somehow, you know. With wind power and solar power, yeah, that will generate some. And the various boondoggles of the previous Liberal government in the province of Ontario for green energy, wind power, and so on, billions of dollars were wasted and very little produced. It's not really, at this point, economically viable, at least not here. Maybe wind power and solar power would work in some places. Maybe solar power would be a big thing in Saudi Arabia. I don't know. But it's not. Not the present time in Canada. Anyway, this convergence of forces. And I'm giving you a bit of background here. Add to that, unfortunately, the sense of entitlement. Trudeau, of course, has promoted a green agenda. He wants us to meet the UN's the Paris Accord's ridiculous targets, which actually only apply to Western nations. Yeah, that's right. The huge polluters, India and China, are not really covered by this. So even if we were to shut ourselves down completely and leave no carbon footprint, what would we have done to reduce the global production of carbon dioxide? Well, we would have done it by, we would have reduced it by a little over 1%. In other words, in one decent week of solid carbon producing in red China, all of Canada's sacrifices would have been wiped out. It's a fool's mission, quite apart from the fact it's based on lousy science. It's based on the assumption, or in the case of our Prime Minister, the accusation that production of carbon dioxide is a pollutant. It's not. It's the stuff of life. It's what plants use, or mix, or I should say, chemically work with along with water to produce sugar. Anyway, those are the forces that are have combined in Canada. What's the Prime Minister to do? Well, he's talking about talking, of course, about dialogue. Andrew Scheer, the Conservative leader, said, and he did. He denounced them, the radical activists, and he said they ought to check their privilege. And he said that if he were in charge, he would direct the RCMP to move in and enforce the law. I mean, that's what they're there for. Now, even spokesmen for police organizations are doing the wimpy dimpy thing. Well, there should be a political solution. Yeah, there should. And perhaps the political solution would be to tell the various factions, but particularly the Mohawk warriors at Thayendanegea, in no uncertain terms, the following. If you do not remove that snowplow obstruction and yourselves from obstructing the railway line by, and give them a very tight deadline, let's say by noon tomorrow, we will move in and do it, and we will do it with whatever force is necessary. Naturally, you don't want violence or whatever, but if there is violence, if you remain there and you do not surrender, you will be arrested with whatever force is necessary. Underline whatever. Now, the Mounties won't go in shooting. That won't be the first response. But if you do not vacate the tract or vacate the area and remove that obstruction, we will do it, and we will use whatever force is necessary. And if you stand in our way, you will be arrested. Now, you make that quite clear, and you make that deadline quite clear, and you make it tight. Now, the police know how to perform an arrest. For instance, they're going to raid somebody's home, and perhaps they feel there might be people who come along as allies to intervene. What do? Well, they cordon off the area. So you give the natives, or I should say, you give the Mohawk warriors a very tight deadline, and then you cordon off the area so reinforcements cannot arrive, and make it really tight. I mean, I'd make it a couple of hours. We're not here for any further discussions. Do it. It's the law. And what is actually being fought out over here is really whether Canadian law applies. Now, some of the native bands, because we have flattered them and indulged them for so long with this nonsense about being First Nations. They're not nations. They may be tribes or ethnic subgroups, but they're not a nation. Well, you see, what a nation does is it takes care of itself, but they don't take care of themselves. They are into us for probably $11 billion a year. They're massively subsidized. They're giant welfare cases. That's not to say that every reservation is like that. Some, like the Chief Louis' band in the South Okanagan, have thriving businesses. I don't want to say all Indians on reservations are poncing off the system, but they certainly are heavily subsidized, including the out of control, in some cases, chiefs and local band councils, who spend lavishly on themselves, sometimes paying themselves salaries exceeding that of the Canadian Prime Minister, and they will be the chief of a band of 1,000 people, pulling down an income that's greater than that of the Prime Minister. In fact, it would be almost twice whatever the dollars are, because they don't pay taxes if they live on a reserve. I mean, it's a sweetheart land, but it's still white privilege, isn't it? Well, there's some truths that need to be told. Number one, Canadian law will rule, not native law. And you're not a separate territory, you're part of Canada, number one. And court orders and normal law, like you can't obstruct a railway track, it's got to prevail. Something even more bizarre came out today. The Minister of Transport, a former astronaut, Marc Garneau, was asked, well, what about this? There's stories about sabotage. Well, what is the minister going to do about that? Sabotage, I should say, of the railway lines. And he admitted it. He said, yes, he is very concerned that there are people, not naming who, whether these are natives or non-native protesters, who have, in some cases, cut the signaling. That's right. On the railway lines, done damage or other tampering to railway cars, putting lives at danger and putting lives at risk. Well, this is very serious stuff, and as even one of the relatively wimpy radio commentators was pointing out, it's against the law. He said, "You go to jail for this." Well, you're darn right, you go to jail for this. To cut the signaling on a railway track is to engineer potentially a catastrophic accident where a railway or a train would plow into perhaps another train or derail or plow into a vehicle on trying to cross the railway tracks. This is the sort of thing that would be done by an enemy in wartime to sabotage the railway lines. Now, this apparently has happened. No, we're not given details as to how much or how many, but this is serious stuff. What's the government doing? Well, it wants dialogue. I'll tell you some of the things the Prime Minister said today. Trudeau said, "We are not asking that the Mohawks and others stop standing up for their communities' rights and for what they believe. We only ask that they be willing to work with the federal government as partners in finding solutions. They remind us, rightly so, that too often trust has been betrayed in the history of Indigenous negotiations with Canadian governments. In fact, that underlines the difficulty of solving this situation today. But our common ground is the desire to arrive at solutions." In other words, he basically says the Indians are right. And that is, of course, part of the stupid party line. It's the anti-white party line of the Liberal Party. And let's be quite blunt about it. Yet, well, if you concede all the opposition's points, and you shouldn't, then you haven't got much to negotiate. You have got very little moral ground to negotiate on, do you? Well, you guys are right. But please, 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 couldn't we find a solution? No, the solution, or at least the condition to working toward any solution, is to stop the illegal activities. That's not negotiable, or at least it shouldn't be. Trudeau says, of course, he then criticized Conservative leader Andrew Scheer. There are those who would want us to act in haste, who want us to boil this down to slogans and ignore the complexities, who think that using force is helpful. It is not. Patience may be in short supply, and that's what makes it more valuable than ever, said Trudeau. Yes, of course, for some things we need patience, but this is not a slogan. It's not a slogan that the law should be enforced. That's not an empty slogan. So then what did Trudeau do? Well, he brought together the leaders of the various opposition parties for a 20-minute private briefing. Okay, that may make some sense. Put everybody in the picture. Except he didn't invite the leader of the opposition, Andrew Scheer. Why not? Well, let's see. According to Trudeau, Scheer disqualified himself from constructive discussions with his unacceptable speech earlier today. So because he said the government should enforce the law, that the court orders to stop these blockages of the railway track should be enforced, disqualified himself from constructive discussions
Well, a constructive discussion might well include enforcing the law. Duh! That's how radical, crazy it's become. The leader of the Green Party, well, actually, she stepped down, but she's still the big noise in the House of Commons. That's Elizabeth May. She, too, said that Andrew Scheer should be disqualified because of his comments. Turban guy, now that's Jagmeet Singh, he's the leader of the Socialist and the New Democratic Party, said, I think what he said was so divisive that it rises to the level of racism. Now, did Andrew Scheer say, as in fact I wish he had, I stand together today in the House of Commons for white people, for the interests we have in the country we created. He didn't say that. He said, I stand for the farmers. I stand for the workers. I stand for those many Indians who have signed on to these agreements and are not part of this protest. Nonetheless, criticize the politically correct agenda, and what do you get? Well, according to Jagmeet Singh, I think what he said was so divisive that it rises to the level of racism. Racism. Well, I'm talking about race. He's talking about illegal activity, mostly by Indians, if we're talking about Thayendanegea, but at certain other places across the country, by other people who are not Indian. Talking about illegal activity. Not talking about race. But of course, that's a great way to use that very potent weaponized word, racism, to shut people up. And Jagmeet Singh went on to say, the way he described people who are frustrated and angry because they don't have basic human rights, to call them names, to belittle and divide them, people who are just asking for basic human dignity, to me shows something that goes beyond division and divisiveness to absolutely racism. Talking about people who are frustrated and angry because they don't have basic human rights. Well, the Indians have human rights. Well, what nonsense is he talking about? In fact, they have more rights than working Canadians because the system indulges them. If you and I were to, we need a few more people, let's say we took a couple dozen of our friends and just sat ourselves down along a main road. I'll tell you, because of this color of our skin being white, we have our rear ends arrested so fast, we would be airborne on our way into the paddy wagons. This is actually a report from the first from the Indian. News network, APTN, Aboriginal Public TV Network, I think it stands for. Okay, well, I love to read comments and we can kind of see through them. Here is a grossly overweight creature, Danny Lanouette, and she's an Anishinaabe woman. That's from, she sure hasn't missed the meal. She says, I would ask him, that's Andrew Scheer, back, what privileges do I have as a young, queer, indigenous woman who grew up low income? What privileges does she have? Well, I'll tell you, honey, if you actually get a job and you live on a reservation, you don't pay taxes. I have a job and I pay taxes. I'm white. Where's my white privilege? I don't have it. And if you want to go hunting and fishing, well, the laws of the country don't apply to you. The same game laws that would apply to me if I wanted to hunt and fish for this or that, I'd have to probably get a license depending on what I was hunting. I would have to, and there would be game limits on some fish and birds and deer and so on. If you're an Indian, you don't have to obey those. Oh, yeah. And if I get arrested and charged and convicted, and I'm about to be sentenced, well, if you're a native person, you get what's called the native discount, or they actually call it a GLADU hearing. But the judge has to take into consideration that you're a native, and there was colonialism and racism, and God knows all else. Doesn't matter what may have been in my background. You get a discount because you're a native. And anyway, she says, what privileges do I have? Well, I'm telling her. Anyway, so see, she's young, queer, and indigenous. She grew up low income. What privileges does she have over a white, wealthy, cis, straight man? Now, she certainly notices the difference in race. Wealthy. Well, Andrew Scheer didn't grow up wealthy. He grew up in a very middle or even lower middle class working family. Cis, straight. Now, of course, that means he's a normal heterosexual male. He's got all the privilege. No, he doesn't have all the privilege. But anyway, this is sort of some of the propaganda nonsense that gets pumped out there. Here's a report that now there will be more than 83,000 people have been affected by the shutting down of CN rail traffic in eastern Canada. Here's some spokesman for the Ontario Provincial Police down there at the blockade of the railway tracks. Four Ontario Provincial Police officers hung back several hundred meters from the blockade Sunday, coming closer only for a brief checking with the protesters in the late afternoon. The dialogue is still open, said Sergeant Cynthia Savard, the OPP's Regional Community Safety Officer, in a telephone interview. It's about keeping a peaceful, safe environment. they're monitoring the situation. What an abdication of their responsibility. A peaceful, safe situation. Well, let's see, who is likely to threaten peace? Well, the people that are illegally blocking the railway tracks. This is, you know, the utter wimpification of policing in Canada. Last week, this would be last week, Andrew Scheer, who's been quite consistent upon this, has called on police to enforce court orders and end the blockades and criticize protesters as misguided activists who are damaging the economy and ignoring the wishes of elected Indian leaders. And that's true. You know, this isn't quite as simple as it's the Indians versus the European founding settler people. Not at all. Many Indian bands have duly signed on to these development projects for the very good reasons that there will be economic benefit, and it's actually very good for them. It's win-win. But those who want to be professional, or what I sometimes call professional Indians, this is not this doesn't fit with the agenda. Well, Diane Francis wrote a pretty hard-hitting piece today. She's a columnist for the Financial Post, which forms part of the National Post. She said, time for PM to blockade the blockades. A Canadian Prime Minister who has two principal responsibilities, maintaining law and order and economic prosperity. Unfortunately, Canada's incumbent has been missing in action. On February 6th, Prime Minister Justin Trudeau left the country on non-essential business to lobby for votes to get a worthless UN Security Council seat. His absence, in conjunction with his disastrous anti-development policies and appeasement toward Indigenous leaders, turned a dispute in late December over a pipeline into a full-blown secession crisis across the country. See, I think radical Indian leaders and radical environmentalists took a measure of Trudeau and said, well, number one, basically, he's against development. He's on our side. Basically, number two, he'll do anything to bend over backwards to appease or create reconciliation, supposedly, with the Indians. So he doesn't want to do anything counter them. So we can get away with pretty much what we want. And up to now, they'd be right. Thank you.
My comment, not hers. Diane Francis continues, and throughout this calamity, Trudeau remained abroad and psychologically on the sidelines, along with his government. Now he has cut short his tour of folly by canceling a chance to lobby Caribbean nations in Barbados for the worthless UN Security Council seat. But once back, he must change his attitude and course, and I don't think he is. But yeah, Trudeau was actually supposed to be away now for a two-day gathering in Barbados, where there's the Caribbean nations will be meeting, and he could press the flesh and hand out money and schmooze and hopefully scare up some more votes for Canada's bid together a seat on the Security Council. Talk about misplaced priorities, or talk about not placing Canada and Canadians first. Diane Francis continues, the crisis is not about a pipeline. It has arisen due to fate or non-existent leadership. Any strong leader, corporate or governmental, would immediately cancel auxiliary trips or extraneous duties in the face of situations such as this one. Any strong leader would not spout bromides about rule of law from afar, but would be home executing an effective course of action to stop the lawlessness and prevent further escalation. Yeah, a real leader would come back and say, the big dog is back. This is what's going to happen. That blockade of the railway track is down in, let's say, 12 hours or else. And the or else is it'll be removed. Anybody who obstructs it, us will be arrested. Now, if he came back with that attitude, that go ahead and make my day attitude, my guess is that the protests would melt away. And if there's a confrontation, then it's on them. And that's what has to be made clear. You must obey the law. If you don't, you incur the consequences. And if you resist violently, you have to expect that you may be met with commensurate violence, and you know, somebody might get hurt. But in the absence of leadership, many among Canada's 634 First Nations, or actually these are Indian bands, now assert that they are fully sovereign and above the law. This means that the very first order of business for the returning Prime Minister is to make it clear that they are not sovereign and they are not above the law of the land, irrespective of their grievances. And those, of course, could be subject to further dialogue. We've been dialoguing for decades. But, yeah, the grievances can be discussed peacefully. But they're not sovereign any more than my house is sovereign, where I live in Hamilton, or the city of Hamilton is sovereign. We can't secede. We cannot say the nation's laws don't apply here. Like it or not, they do. And that has to be made quite clear to these Indians and their supporters. Instead, Trudeau's federal ministers have passed the buck to other levels of government to sort out the mess. The result is a spark that was ignited concerning a pipeline in BC is now a major fire, and every day the federal government remains aloof. The flames grow and do more damage to Canada's reputation. Negative media attention internationally spirals. It must be made clear that there is no legal justification for these railway blockades, nor is there any legal basis for this call to action by a group of British Columbia hereditary chieftains over a pipeline that has been approved by 20 Indian bands along the way. From afar, the Prime Minister has suggested there be a dialogue, a vague word that signals that he has no plan or even an inkling that he has one. And you know, one of the things that was shocking, actually two things, shocking last week. Number one, Indians and their supporters blockaded the entrance to the British Columbia legislature, and for 3 hours, the members, the duly elected members of all parties,
of that legislature were not able to meet. Now, this is outrageous interference with Parliament. The police should have given them 30 seconds to disperse and then turn the water cannon on them. Not allowed. Not going to happen. On Saturday, the Deputy Prime Minister, Chrystia Freeland, was to meet with officials at Halifax City Hall. She was denied entry into the City Hall by another band of protesters. The police should have sent a flying squad in there and scattered those people and said, this minister is about her duly authorized business. She is doing her job. You are trying to prevent that. You will not do that. Get out of the way or we will get you out of the way as we slap on the handcuffs. Now, that would have been alpha male leadership. And that's what we need. This country has become a weak, effeminate, pussy country, which is pushed around by detests a vacuum. So if one part is weak, somebody will move in and take over. It's not really just a matter of whom. But here's what leadership should do, says Diane Francis. Any discussions or dialogue are premature until the Indian leaders and their followers stand down from their illegal actions. This is essential in order to demonstrate that discussions or dialogue are even worth pursuing with those involved in breaking the law. Why would you dialogue with criminals? And that's what they are. You're breaking the law, you're a criminal. Now, cease the criminal activity, then we can have a chat. If they do not, and some will not because they believe that Canada is not legitimately sovereign over their traditional lands, the only strategy is for the police or military to blockade the blockades. Armed perimeters should be established around protest areas, and nothing and no person should be allowed inside until they stand down. Communications should be shut down within the perimeter. Block cell phone access, shut down all facilities over which you have any control. Blockade the blockaders. Take the war to them. This will avoid violent confrontations and will eventually impede the spread of blockades. But if this does not work and radicals push back in defiance of court orders to desist or aggressively try to breach the police blockade, then law enforcement must protect the public. Lobbying for votes in Africa and hobnobbing in Munich or blaming the provinces makes everything worse. The Prime Minister must sternly uphold the rule of law and protect Canada's lawful economic and resource development.
And that says Diane Francis.
And I totally agree.
It's the only way. Well, this is Paul Fromm. You're on the fighting side of me. Going to take my musical break right now and play some good German drinking music, kind of a change of pace. This is Paul Fromm, and you're on the fighting side of me.
Thank you. Paul Fromm here on the playing side of me, back with the game tomorrow. And I sign off tonight, as I always do, with the anthem of the real Canada, the Maple Leaf Forever. This is Paul Fromm, and you're on the fighting side of me.
In days of yore, from Britain's shore, Wolfe the dauntless hero came and planted firm Britannia's flag on Canada's fair domain. Here may it wave our boast, our pride, and joined in love together, the thistle, shamrock, rose, and twine, the maple leaf forever. The maple leaf, our emblem dear, the maple leaf forever. God save our queen and heaven bless the maple leaf forever. At Queenston Heights and Lundy's Lane, our brave fathers side by side for freedom, homes and loved ones dear, firmly stood and nobly died. And those dear rights which they maintained, we swear to yield them never. Our watchword evermore shall be the maple leaf forever. The maple leaf forever. God save our queen and heaven bless the maple leaf forever. Our fair dominion now extends from Cape Race to Nootka Sound. May peace forever be our lot and plenteous store abound. And may those ties of love be ours, which discord cannot sever, and flourish green o'er freedom's home, the maple leaf forever. The maple leaf, our emblem dear, the maple leaf forever. God save